Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, back from so many trips. I think I've taken 12 plane flights in the last 3 to 4 weeks, and it's good to be back at the BEL cabin nestled in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. In a couple minutes, I'd like to give you a report of some of what went on at Operation Rescue National's event in Atlanta, Georgia, 20 years after Operation Rescue really stunned the nation at the Democratic National Convention in Atlanta 20 years ago, 1988, with the rescues at abortion clinics, which really launched the rescue movement nationally. And that's what got me involved back 20 years ago. So I'm thankful to Operation Rescue way back when for taking so many Christians and bringing us out of a life of somewhat naivete about what had been happening in our own culture and the countless children being killed for convenience, and turn that into a life of concern for our neighbor, loving our neighbor, and risking quite a bit in the process to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the streets. And what happened in Atlanta was just startling. The Reverend Flip Benham, Operation Save America, hundreds of Christian pro-lifers from around the country converging on that city for a week. I was there for 24 hours, and just the report of what happened in those 24 hours, and not because I was there, just the force of the event of that many Christians willing, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, willing to go out on the streets to confront unbelief, to confront injustice and cruelty in the name of choice. It was astounding. So I'll get to that in a moment, but first, this short story out of Pittsburgh. A fifth girl, this comes from the Times newspaper, a Beaver newspaper out of Pittsburgh, but it's an Associated Press story from this month, July 2008. A fifth girl now says she was also sexually assaulted by a student whose alleged attacks have prompted a lawsuit against the Upper St. Clair School District near Pittsburgh. Now, this is reason number 341. Why you should not have your children go to public schools. This is reason number 341, as reported on Bob and Yart Live over the years. The 16-year-old girl says she told school officials about the sexual assault in December. She says the other assaults, the subsequent assaults, could have been prevented had officials taken proper action against the boy back then. A 15-year-old girl, so that's a 16-year-old girl. Another girl, a 15-year-old girl, and her family sued the school district, saying several school officials failed to protect their daughter from a 14-year-old freshman who allegedly raped her at school in February. And, in fact, a number of other girls. This 14-year-old is charged in juvenile court, and what a mistake. We should get rid of juvenile court, because when you lower the penalty threshold for kids, you entice younger and younger children to become criminals. That's what you accomplish. Liberals are too wicked. Their hearts are too hard to allow them to think through that. But kids know that they can get away with crimes, especially before they're 18, and pay a minimal price. Kids know that. And they process that as they decide whether or not to become criminals. And they do. They're not that stupid. And so when you think you're being compassionate, you are being unwise. And that lack of wisdom destroys the lives of young people by the tens of thousands. And so this kid is charged with raping three girls and sexually assaulting a fourth. And the 16-year-old says, I told the public school district, about it in December, and they didn't take proper action, and that led to these other rapes and sexual assaults. So that's reason number 341 to take your kids out of public schools and homeschool, which is the best homeschool. And if you're not able to homeschool, Christian education, but make sure it's a good Christian school, because just because it says a Christian school doesn't mean it is. And you want to know if they oppose sexual immorality and homosexuality and child killing and evolution. And if they teach what the Bible teaches, that God made the earth in six literal days, or if they teach the Big Bang and evolution and theistic evolution, all that garbage, it's pretty much the same as a public school, just you got to pay even more. Okay, so please, fathers, you love your daughters, of course, please protect them. Do not send them to public schools. It's systemic. And that's why the school district did nothing, because they expect that the boys are using the girls sexually. They expect that the boys are making fun of the girls' bodies. They expect that the boys are asking the girls for sexual favors. They expect that the boys are telling sexual jokes to the girls. They expect that the boys are doing what they can to lower the girls' own ability to respect themselves and their own first line of defense against being used sexually. The public school administrators expect all that, and many of them, no, most of them, are child sex advocates. They think it's good when kids have sex. Most of them, like Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains, put in one of their newsletters years ago, in a quarterly newsletter, they wrote, "Our goal as educators is to help students achieve sexual satisfaction before graduation." So they admitted that. That's their goal as educators. And our public school system is, it's officially, it's their child sex advocates. Child sex advocates. We confronted a group of NEA delegates, the National Education Association delegates. They had their convention in Washington, D.C. just, what was that, 3 weeks ago? And we confronted a whole group of them. And you want to talk about being in denial. They denied that the NEA officially supported abortion and the right to students to have abortions without their parents' knowledge. I said, come on, I've been reading the resolutions that have passed at NEA conventions on and off for the last 15 years on the air, 17 years. What do you mean the NEA doesn't support homosexuality and lesbianism and shacking up and kids having sex? Of course the NEA supports all these things, and they actually denied it. It was just astounding. Okay, now I want to go to a report of what happened at Operation Rescue Nationals event this past week. It just ended, and I was able to be there briefly. We did go to a funeral. We attended a funeral for my brother-in-law in Ohio. He was a pilot who got killed on an approach landing in an airport in Mexico. And I've seen now video, outdoor security video, that just happened to get the plane coming in the approach. And obviously there were severe problems with the control surface on the plane, and it was banking radically from one side back and forth. So it hit the ground and broke into pieces. And my brother-in-law, beautiful Christian man, husband, father of three teenagers, he was killed. It was a cargo flight, and the co-pilot suffered severe burns, and it was in the hospital in Mexico for a long time, and I think just now transferred to a hospital in California. My wife, Cheryl, her brother was killed, and we did go to the funeral. And in fact, Cheryl and I brought four of our seven boys, and it was a real good time of ministering to the family. And many in Cheryl's family are Christians, some are not. And so she's written letters, she's praying for them, she's witnessing to them. And so please pray for her. She's still there. So I'm figuring out how to take care of the boys without my wife at home. And I can't figure out, well, who's going to take care of me so I can take care of the boys. But Cheryl is the greatest wife and mother and sister. And so please pray for her. Oh, and by the way, we also took our kids to the Creation Museum. While we were there, we landed in Cincinnati, and we had a day before the memorial service, the funeral. So we took four of our seven boys to the Creation Museum, which is just across the border. It's in Kentucky. And the event for our whole family was fabulous. We had kids with us from age 7 to 23, maybe? Yeah. Just a tremendous, tremendous place to go for you, your family, kids of all ages, to reinforce your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and God's Word. And the museum is Creation Museum and Prepare to Believe. That's their slogan, their tagline, Prepare to Believe. Wow. What a great, great testimony to the world. Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis and their Creation Museum in Hebron, Kentucky. Just a tremendous witness. So we're thrilled we were able to do that. Okay, last week I did have the opportunity to go to Operation Rescue's event in Atlanta 20 years after their first national event there. And I spoke on Tuesday night to the group. It was a great honor to share the extraordinary things that God is doing in Colorado through the activist community, Colorado Right to Life, the Collaborators Project, Colorado for Equal Rights, getting personhood on the ballot here in November. Vote yes on Amendment 48, first time in 41 years since America started legalizing child killing. Is there a statewide opportunity to affirm the God-given right to life of the unborn? What a great, great, historic development here in the state of Colorado. So I got to share all that with the group, and everybody was thrilled, and people want to come out during the DNC in August to help. We have a Clinton Watch project. Maybe you could be a part of that, even if you're out of state. If you could come in the last week in August, the Democrats are coming to Colorado, and we formed a DNC welcoming committee. And one of our projects, we have a number of projects planned for that week. One of them is the Clinton Watch, where, of course, sadly, Denver, as with all major cities, sadly, it shouldn't be. This should be illegal to traffic in human sexuality. But Denver has these adult, I don't even like using that term, but these strip joints. And so we're going to have protesters in front of the strip joints with signs that say Clinton Watch and digital cameras and taking pictures of the people going in during the DNC event and then uploading those pictures to the American Right to Life website and asking people around the country, can you identify your Democratic senator, representative, governor, mayor? Because we won't know who all these people are. You know, there's thousands of them. But maybe you'll be able to spot your own local Democratic representative going into a Denver strip joint. And you'll be able to help us, and we'll label these guys. So that project is the DNC Welcoming Committee's Clinton Watch, and you could be a part of it. And if you can't be here, maybe you're a webmaster. If you're a talented webmaster, maybe you could help out with that project. We're already planning for it, but we need help. And that's, by the way, American Right to Life. You can call them 1-888-ARTL if you would like to be involved in the webmaster work ongoing, actually, for their Right to Life websites. Maybe you could volunteer and help out with that. A couple hours an hour, a couple hours a week could be a great blessing. Okay, so what happened the day I got to be there at OSA? I had some meetings with some major pro-life leaders from around the country. And so my day was a little different than most of those who were there for the Operation Rescue national event led by the Reverend Flip Benham. But some of the group went to a number of abortion clinics. And at one abortion clinic, a clinic worker came out. She had been there for years. She came out. And they talked to her, and they said, there is a God. This is wrong. God disapproves. You're killing kids. You should quit. And they reached her. They actually reached her. Their message got through to her heart. There was a lot of prayer that went into this event by 1,000 Christians across the country in the previous weeks. And she went back in. She must have talked to a few people in there. She gathered up her stuff, and she came out, and she said, I quit. I just quit after 4 years. And so the Christians, of course, were ecstatic. They prayed for her right then. They asked her, would she want to come to church tonight? We're having a rally at a beautiful Christian church that hosted the event. And she said, yeah, you know, I would like to come. Could I bring somebody? Yeah, bring somebody. Then two big black guys came out of the clinic. They were security guards. And they came up to the Christians, the Operation Save America, OSA, Operation Rescue folks, and they said, we want to quit too. And they quit right on the spot. Three clinic workers quit right then and there. Then we have, that's reasonably extraordinary things. So most of the Christians with this Operation Rescue National event are staying at one hotel. Some are staying at another hotel. And one whole group, 20 people, come in from New Orleans. Pastor Bill Shank's church. And they come in from New Orleans, and the hotel overbooked. And all of their rooms for 20 people are unavailable. They don't have rooms for 20 people. So it's a crisis, right? So Pastor Bill said to the hotel management, please, don't worry. We'll figure it out. All the other Christians got together and said, you know what? We've got an extra bed. We could put. And within a short time, all 20 people were settled and accounted for. And the hotel management, they said, you know, we've never seen anything like that ever. Thank you for helping us get through this. And so the young people would stay and talk to the overnight staff. And one of the overnight workers was a Muslim. And so Pastor Bill has the opportunity to lead the Muslim to the Lord, which is obviously extraordinary. Ken Scott, he's an expert at chess, playing chess, and he was assigned to play chess at the city park where a bunch of Muslims gather and they play chess all the time. And so he went and he played chess. And he's like, Ken, would you lose some games, okay? Lose and you could talk to him more. So he did win one or two of the games. Like, Ken, you shouldn't win. You should lose so you could talk more. But anyway, and he got to witness to Muslims. Pastor Bill Shanks, we meet in the parking lot. Some of the groups would meet at 4:45 a.m. in the parking lot of the hotel because they'd go to the abortion clinics, which were further away. It might take an hour to drive to the abortion clinics. You want to get there when the women are arriving. So they'd meet at 4:45. Other groups would meet at 5:15, 5:30. Ken Scott was on the overpass team where huge signs that people drive under an overpass. We did this in Denver with OSA 3 years ago. People drive under an overpass and the signs say, what kind of a city? And then they drive under the next overpass, you know, a quarter of a mile further on the highway. What kind of a nation? And then the next overpass would do this. And then the next overpass, the pictures of the children slaughtered by Planned Parenthood. Extraordinary, powerful message. The whole city knows that Operation Rescue is in town. The whole city knows. Hundreds of Christian pro-lifers in these bright red T-shirts that say Jesus is the standard, and on the back, the list of sins and lies, like homosexuality and child killing and Islam and the whole bit. So we have the rally that night. And this one Christian brother is telling the story about this Christian gal who worked at the abortion clinic for 4 years, and she came out and she quit. And as he's telling the story, she comes in. She arrives at the church with her boyfriend. And so the Reverend Flip Benham asked them if they would like to come up and pray, and would they like to become Christians? Would they like to witness their trust in Jesus Christ in front of the whole group? And they said, yes, we would. And they pray and they bow their heads in front of the whole group and pray to become Christians. Well, she came back night after night after night. I had to leave. She kept coming back. And you know what her job was at the abortion clinic? Her job was after Planned Parenthood, and this wasn't a Planned Parenthood, but it's a typical abortion clinic. At Planned Parenthood, after they do the abortion, someone has to reassemble the baby to make sure they got all the body parts. That was her job. Because Planned Parenthood, their risk assessment policies, when they do an abortion, they will sometimes miss, say, a leg with a foot will stay in the mother's womb. And then the mother goes home and she passes her baby's leg with the foot and the five toes at home. And she sees the foot and she goes into hysteria. You know, most women who kill their kids, they don't want to be reminded that they just killed a little baby. They want to believe a lie that it's just a blob. It's like a tumor. And so also that tends to cause an infection. And so Planned Parenthood would get sued. So many years ago, they added to their procedures the step where they reassemble the baby after they've killed it. So that's what this girl did for 4 years at an abortion clinic. She reassembled the babies to make sure they got it all. Of course, if there's twins, they might miss one. And that's happened, and the twin is born. Or they go back to kill the twin a second hit. And so she quit after 4 years. And she quit because the Christians were there. If the Christians weren't there, she wouldn't have quit. I mean, you know, we don't know all the particulars of what may or may not happen in some alternate possible outcome. But she quit because the Christians were there and they appealed to her to quit. And she trusted in Jesus Christ because she was asked to trust in Jesus Christ. Right before that rally, I went to dinner with one of the nation's leading pro-lifers, the president of a state chapter of National Right to Life. And he went to this OSA event because typically Right to Life groups don't like the groups that go out on the street and protest. They just don't like it. They don't understand the concept of no child killing with tranquility. They want to fight abortion in a very respectable way with suits and ties and lush offices and comfortable salary and retirement benefits. That's how they view winning this war against child killing. And so that's part of the battle against child killing, but being out on the streets and making sure that there is no child killing with tranquility, that probably is going to factor in as a major reason eventually why abortion is outlawed. Because of Christians making it just sheerly unbearable and coercing the government to ban abortion, not because the government knows right from wrong, but because it's just not worth the social turmoil any longer. So this leader of a major, one of the top right-to-life groups in the country, went to OSA because he recognized this reality. We should not distance ourselves from these kinds of Christian pro-lifers, street activists. They could be a key to the battle. And we met to talk about the personhood movement and the failure of regulating child killing. And I'd like to tell you more, and maybe in the future I can, but right now I could report that the personhood wing of the pro-life movement is on the advance, and the child-killing regulators are on the defensive. And this major group is agreeing increasingly publicly. It's powerful. And so during that dinner at a restaurant called Papa Do's, a Cajun restaurant, there's three of us, and one of the guys tells the waitress, well, we're here because we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ and we're trying to stop child killing. And so she's, oh, okay. And halfway through the meal, she comes over and she says, you know, I think I need the Lord. My life is messed up. And he says, well, would you like to bow your head and pray right now? And she said, I would. And so he leads her to the Lord. She bows her head right at the table as the busboys and waiters and waitresses are rushing around her. It's extraordinary the things that happen. Six babies were saved. Six babies scheduled for abortions were saved. One police officer was assigned to watch the group at the abortion clinic, us protesters. And he had just come from a terrible crime scene across town. Two murders and two cops were shot and taken by ambulance to the hospital. That's serious crime. We're talking about Atlanta, right? There's a culture of death and violence. And abortion is a major part of that. And so the police officer comes over and says, I'm assigned to be here because you guys are here. But his hands are shaking because he just came from, you know, two of his buddies just got shot. And the Christian pro-lifer said, can we pray for you? And he said, yes. Please do. And so you see a bunch of crazy Christians laying hands on the cops, praying for them. And when when they finished praying for him, he said, "You know what? I don't need to be here. You guys are fine. I'm going to leave." And he went about his business, and that was great. And the night, Tuesday night, I spoke, and protesters showed up, and they came onto the church property. And if we did that, of course, they would instantly call the police and try to get us arrested. Well, they came onto the church property and came right up to the church, and it was all glass windows around the sanctuary, ceiling to floor, and they held their signs up to the window so we could read them inside. And one woman's sign said, what did it say? "Save me from ignorance." And we thought, well, that's a prayer. She's got a prayer right there. And the Reverend Flip Benham said, "Invite them in. Tell them they're all welcome. Come on in." Of course, they didn't want to come in, but the young, mostly young people went out to minister to the protesters, and they talked to them for hours. One gave her life to the Lord. One of the protesters got saved. And others, Flip Benham was asked to come out to pray with some who were bound in homosexuality. What an extraordinary event. And, you know, the DNC Welcoming Committee is planning for another extraordinary event here in Denver, Colorado. And we need your help. Could you send sheets? We need sheets. We need a lot of sheets. Can you get 7 sheets and send them to American Right to Life? Get them in the mail or UPS by July 25th. Can you do that? And get them here in, you know, 2-3 days shipping or before August 1st, can you do that, if at all possible? That's for the Sheets of Shame Project. And I can't tell you more than that, but that's what is needed for American Right to Life, part of their DNC Welcoming Committee. And also, Bob and Yart Live, we need your help. Can you support us financially? 1-800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school in Arvada. Maranatha, may God bless you.